We're in this series called 30 Days of Hope. He's risen, hope is rising. And the theme verse for the series, you'll find up on the screens in 1 Peter. I invite you to read this with me. Let's declare the word of the Lord together. Everybody, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. Can we give God praise for his word? Amen. My prayer is at the end of these 30 days that, like a kite rises because of the wind, that the wind of the Holy Spirit would help your hope begin to soar and to rise. Cathedral of Faith, are you ready to fly? I'm ready to fly. Say it with me. I'm ready to fly. Before you're seated, tell somebody, I'm ready to fly for my hope to begin to soar. Amen. There once was a utility company that planned to build a brand new dam in our country. And so they sent a representative to a small town, and they met with each resident, and they were told them that they're building a dam and at the end of the valley, and water was going to back up and eventually fill the whole area, including the town. They said they were going to pay for the property and that they would be free to live in their homes, but eventually this is where things were headed. About a year after the utility company purchased the property, well, a man who grew up in that town, he was a professor as well as a writer, he went back to visit his family home because the dam had not been built yet. But what he realized when he got there, it stunned him. The town now had an expiration date. And what had once been this beautiful little town, quaint, it had turned into a dilapidated ghost town, even though a lot of people still live there. I mean, as he began to think about it, he thought, well, why repair a broken fence? Or why mow your lawn or cut your weeds? Or why fix a broken window if you know it's all going to end up underwater anyway? And when he saw the condition of the town, he made this observation. He said, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. And that's why Cathedral, today is the day to take back our power by taking back our faith, taking back our hope, taking back our future. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." That is God's heart for you. Can we give him praise? Amen. A future and a hope and a future. Take hold of it today. Now, in this series, we've looked at that if you're going to keep hope alive, you have to keep fuel in the tank. You have to raise your aim a bit. And the third principle I want us to look at today has to do with the future, refocusing on the future. I saw this one sign that said, online, it said, the future, the present, and the past walked into a bar and things got a little tense. Think with me about the future. I heard about a frog who he wanted to know what was ahead for him. He wanted to know about his future. So he was at the fair one day and he went to see the fortune teller. Now, it's never a good idea to see a fortune teller, but frogs don't know that. And so he goes to see a fortune teller and he asks, "Can you tell my future?" And she says, "Oh, I see a beautiful woman in your future, and she will be greatly interested in you." And the frog got all happy. And he said, where am I going to meet her? Am I going to meet her in church? Am I going to meet her at the pond? And she said, no, you're going to meet her in biology class. Uh-oh. Refocusing on the future. When you think about the way our bodies are made, I mean, if you feel comfortable getting interactive with me, if you'll take your hands and can you just check the back of your head? And are there any eyes back there? All I feel is hair, not as much hair as I used to feel. But that's even if you have your sunglasses on like this up here, that you'll see if we can bring that up, yeah. You still don't have eyes in the back of your head because the way we were designed, we're made to look forward. Now, how about if we take it one more step and look at your feet? And which way are your feet pointed? Forward. In our design, it's like we're made to look forward and we're made to move forward. Even our brains, neuroscience has discovered in their studies that our brains are wired for a future orientation. Anticipating positive outcomes literally energizes us. We're made to move forward. And so for the next few minutes, I want to think with you about how we can refocus on the future. And here are three ideas to get us going. First of all, if you're facing a crisis, let the crisis become a catalyst and refocus on the future. If you're facing a crisis, are you facing a crisis? In Joshua chapter 1, we read this. We read, the Lord said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now then, say that with me. Now then, I want you and all these people to get ready to go across the Jordan River. I want all of you to go into the land I am about to give to the Israelites. Moses is dead. It's hard for us to get our minds around what a very big deal that would have been. Moses had been the only leader that they had ever known for 40 years. He had brought them out of slavery, brought them through the desert, and now they're on the edge of the promised land, and Moses is gone. Where do they go from here? How would they ever get along without him? They had come to the end of a chapter, and some thought it was the end of the book. But here is the thing. Moses is dead, but God's still alive. Let me say that again. Moses is dead, but God's still alive. And God says to Joshua, now then. Say it with me. Now then. Somebody needs to know that. That God always has a now then. It may you, if you've come to the end of a chapter, it's not the end of the book. God always has a now then. And this crisis becomes a catalyst for them to move forward and take hold of their promised land. So let me ask you a question. Where do you feel like your world, even now, you'd say, Ken, my world has been turned upside down. Well, you can look back. You can look back and let the crisis set you back. Or you can look forward and let the crisis send you forward. Moses is dead, but God's still alive. It may be the end of the chapter, but it's not the end of your book. It's not. You know, one of the blessings about being on staff for 44 years here at the church is I'll get the chance to dedicate children and then watch them grow up. And then some of them go into ministry or are a force for the kingdom right here in the Bay Area. One of those is Derek Scott. Derek grew up in this church. In fact, his parents, they're over here. They've been pillars in the church for over 40 years. Aaron is on staff. Josie plays Mary in the Easter play. Would you guys stand up? And let's give it up for Aaron and Josie and their family. Just pillars in the church all these years. So their son, Derek, grew up in the church, went to Bible school, was part of our team in the youth department for several years. And then 10 years ago, he became the lead pastor up in Redwood City of Rye City Church. He's doing a great job and the pandemic hits. It's a crisis. And then on top of that, during the pandemic, a fire breaks out and burns down part of his sanctuary. That's a crisis on a crisis. Now, they could have looked back and let that set them back, but instead, they were going to look forward and let it send them forward. And what they did is they sold a piece of property that the church owned. They took the insurance money and the sale money. They put it together, and they have built a brand new sanctuary that is going to be even a better place to be more effective for reaching their community in the days ahead. Amen. They'll be dedicating that sanctuary next month to the glory of God. And that's how you take a crisis and turn it into a catalyst, something that moves you forward instead of setting you back. Instead of setting you back. Way to go, Derek. Look, a crisis can set you back or it can send you forward into a new season, into a new place. It may be the end of the chapter, but it's not the end of your book. God's still writing, and there are great days ahead. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Okay, here's the second idea. Second idea is this. If you have been saying, it is what it is. In fact, let's say it together, all right? It is what it is. Say it with a little attitude. It is what it is, right? If you've been saying it is what it is, start saying it can be what can be. It can be what can be. In ancient Greek mythology, there is a character, Pygmalion, and he was a sculptor. And what he did is he designed this sculpture of a beautiful woman. And he took care of it, watched over it. Eventually, he fell in love with it, and his love for that sculpture brought it to life. There was something that the love and belief of that artist transformed that cold marble. Now, if you fast forward to two psychologists, Robert Rosenthal and Lenore Jacobson, they conducted an experiment where they told teachers that certain students in their classes that they were on the verge of an intellectual growth spurt. Now, in reality, these students were just picked at random, just randomly selected. And yet something amazing happened. Those students actually did begin to perform better, and they excelled, not because they were inherently more gifted, but because the teachers believed that they would succeed. The teachers expected more, and that resulted in the students giving more. They saw more than it is what it is. They saw what the students could become, and the students believed in what they could become. And they rose up to those expectations. It's now known as the Pygmalion effect. So let me ask you a question. Where in your world could you shift the conversation from it is what it is to it can be what it can be? How many parents have teenagers in the house? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Can we just extend our hands and pray for them even now? It's not easy being a teen in today. It's not being a parent, easy being a parent of a teen. I saw one mom talking to her teenager, and the teenager said, "You can't ground me. I've got millions of followers who demand daily content." It's complicated in today's world. But what if parents, what if you looked at your teenager and you saw more than what is? You saw how with the help of God, this is who they can become. Or what if you looked at your marriage and you saw more than what is? You saw that with the help of God, this is what it can become. Or you look at yourself and you see more than what is. I saw this one cat, and the cat said, "What matters most is how you see yourself." You see more than what is, you see what you can become with the help of God. What if God wants to? Where does God want to move the conversation from it is what it is to this is what we can become? Jesus was always giving vision in this regard. Now, next week, we're sending my second book. I've written two books. One book back in 2013, I've written a second book. If you don't believe in the miracles, my second book, I've written it. I completed it. Can we give God praise? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It cut into my Netflix time at night, but I finished it, and now it's going to the printers next week. And the name of the book, it's about resilience. It's called Dream Again: How to Bounce Back When You've Fallen Flat. And I believe with all my heart that when you've had a setback, God can give you a comeback. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Dr. Ed wrote the foreword. But in the book, and in fact, I would, if you would, it'd be great if you went online this week and either on our social media or on our app or our website and just vote for which cover you like the best. I'd love to have your input as we get ready to print the book. But in the book, I tell a story about Jesus giving vision to a man by the name of Simon. The first thing Jesus does when he meets him is he changes his name. The Bible said Jesus looked intently in John chapter 1 at Peter for a moment and then said, "You are Simon, John's son, but you shall be called Peter, the rock." You are Simon. That's who he is. The name Simon means a reed. And a reed in the wind sways back and forth, back and forth. And that was Peter. One day he was over here. The next moment he was over here. He was undependable. He was unreliable. It's a pretty good description of who Simon is. It is what it is. But Jesus sees what can be. If you want to see transformation take place in your life or in the life of others, it takes three things. It takes vision, it takes intention, and it takes method. Vision, intention, and method. And Jesus changes his name so that he will have a vision of what he can become. Yes, you are Simon, but you will become Peter. The word Peter means rock. You are a reed, but you'll become a rock. Peter, one day, you're going to be rocky. Amen. He's going to be rocky. He gives him a vision of what he can become. Where does Jesus want to give you vision today? Where does he want to change your name? That when you look at the mirror, you see not only it is what it is, but you see what can be. See, these are the things that will help us keep focused on the future. And that brings us to the last idea. The last idea has to do with, if you wrestle with regret, let grace start to set you free. Refocus on the future. I saw this one cat who says, "I regret many things." I guess knocking over that pitcher of water was one of them. And don't we all regret many things? Sometimes I'll hear people say, "I have no regrets." I'm thinking, are you sure about that? There's not one thing in your life you wouldn't go back and change? There's a man by the name of Paul. Did he ever have regrets? Wow, he had regrets. At one time, he was a terrorist. He would travel around the country and he would kill Christians strictly for them being followers of Jesus, men, women, children, it didn't matter. And then one day he has a dramatic encounter with Jesus and he realizes he was wrong. That he's the chief of sinners. Talk about mistakes, failure, regret. That's the kind of past that could haunt you the rest of your life. And yet, Paul experienced his guilt runs into the grace of God. And grace is greater than guilt. Let me say that again. Grace is greater than guilt. I want to say it one more time. Grace is greater than guilt. You will run out of sin before God runs out of grace. You will. And grace brings him to the place where eventually Paul would write this. Here is the one thing I do. I forget what is behind me, and I push hard toward what is ahead of me. Would you read these last two lines with me? I forget what is behind me, and I push hard toward what is ahead of me. One more time. I forget what is behind me, and I push hard toward what is ahead of me. Wow. What does that mean, I forget what is behind me? Does it mean that he cannot remember? It'd be nice, wouldn't it, to be able to hit the delete button and to get rid of all of our regrets in that way. But some regrets, they're hard to delete from your memory. You may not be able to do that. Paul was never able to do that. But the good news of the grace of the gospel is this. Grace gives you the power to rise above that memory. That the memory loses its grip on you. It doesn't keep you down. It frees you from the past so you can push hard towards your future. I have here a rearview mirror. I borrowed it from a car out in the parking lot, and I'll put it back as soon as I'm done, I promise. So, you have on your car a rearview mirror. It's small. And then you have a windshield. It's large. And that's a pretty good lesson for all of us. If you're going to look backwards, take a small look at the past. But keep your eyes focused on that big windshield ahead of you. Forgetting what is behind, reaching toward what is ahead. I saw Coach Mike Ditka, he once said this. He said, I don't believe in living in the past. Living in the past is for cowards. If you live in the past, you die in the past. This is not only true of your past failure, it's also true of your past success. Remember your past success. Celebrate your past success. Be grateful for your past success. But don't get fixated on the good old days. If your memories become greater than your dreams, let me say it again. If your memories become greater than your dreams, if you live in the past, it will keep you from pressing forward to what lies ahead and what God has for you and your future. Amen? At the cathedral, let me say, at cathedral, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary. But we're celebrating the past, but we're not living in the past. We believe that there are still great days ahead, and we have more dreams and more vision. Only God knows what's going to happen in the next 60 years. And we have developed, our worship arts team is in the process of developing a documentary. And the documentary is called, about Cathedral of Faith, The Living Dream. And that's because the dream that we're a part of, it's alive. Cathedral, we're not finished. We're just getting started. Amen. You're not finished. You're just getting started. And I believe with all my heart that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are still ahead of us, that there are indeed for Cathedral of Faith and for your life great days ahead. Focus on that future, a future and a hope. Amen.